Welcome everyone this afternoon. We're going to study tonight a verse out of the book of Philippians. It's probably one of the most popular verses in really the entire Bible. However, I think it's one that's kind of misused a little bit. It is Philippians, the 4th chapter and verse 13. This is really popular with young people. I'll kind of tell you the story. This is a picture of a guy by the name of Tim Tebow. You may have heard that name. This is from a Sports Illustrated magazine from 2009. Tim Tebow was the quarterback at the University of Florida and was one of the most polarizing figures really the sports world has known in a long time. He was unapologetically a Christian. His Christian beliefs, I don't know that I agree with all of his beliefs, but he was a good man. And in fact, a lot of people hate him because after he got done, win or lose, he would always kneel down and pray. And for whatever reason, a lot of people didn't like him for that. In fact, it even kind of came up with his own word. It was Tebowing is what it was called. And you would see people, they would take a knee and they would say, oh, he's Tebowing. Well, this is Tim Tebow right here. And I know you probably can't see this, but what was so important about this picture, he's got this eye black, these little black strips they put in to take the glare out of a football field. And under it, it says Philippians 4:13. And so that became a very popular phrase for athletes. And so if you look at Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sounds pretty good. That if I'm going to go play in the University of Alabama and I'm playing a really good team, well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or if I'm going up against a really big, strong opponent, it's okay because I believe in Jesus and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You'll see it on t-shirts. You'll see it emblazoned on all different ball caps. You'll see it on coffee cups. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sounds beautiful. But that's really not what it means. That's what I talked about a little bit this afternoon, is kind of misapplying scriptures. And I believe this is a textbook case of pulling verses out of context. So we're going to look at Philippians 4 and 13. In recent years, this verse has become somewhat of a rallying point for athletes. Philippians 4 and 13. You may just see the numbers, 4:13. I just assume that you know that it's from the book of Philippians. If you believe in Christ enough, if you have enough confidence, enough faith, you're going to win the game. I'm here to tell you, Jesus does not care who wins tonight between the Cowboys and the Texans. He doesn't care. And people can pray all they want to that Dak Prescott has a good game. God does not care who wins between the Cowboys and the Texans. God does not care, Aaron, tomorrow, who wins, the Wall Lady Hawks or the Sonora Lady Broncos. God does not care. And so we get caught up in this and we try to, you know, put things into perspective. God does not care. That's not what God is about. He doesn't worry about who wins these basketball games or football games. But this Philippians 4 and 13, I just gave you a couple examples, has really taken off. This shoe up here on the top, I probably can't see it. Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things. That shoe belongs to a guy by the name of Steph Curry, who is probably the most wildly popular basketball player in the world right now behind LeBron James. He plays for the Golden State Warriors. And they're the best team, and Steph Curry is the best player probably on the best team, unless you're a Kevin Durant fan. But he's one of the best players. He's got that written on his shoe. I can do all things, Philippians 4 and 13. That's Tebow. That's what it means when it says somebody's Tebowing. That's Tim Tebow. He would take a knee after the game. He'd take his helmet off, and he would bow down in prayer. So Nike picked up on this. We were all witnesses, it says. And guess what it says right here? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4 and 13. It's on bracelets. It's on coffee cups. It's on ball caps. Notice this one? It's even got a picture of a baseball in place of the O. I can do all things. If I believe in Jesus enough, I can hit that 95-mile-an-hour fastball. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If I have enough faith and I believe in Jesus enough, God is going to help me hit that fastball. I don't believe that's what this means at all. And I believe it's been almost trivialized by taking that passage out of context. And that's what I want to study tonight. Philippians 4 and 13 is not a spiritual rabbit's foot. It's not something that we can fall back on when we get into a tough situation, that we can beat anybody if we have faith in Jesus. That's not how it works. Please, God, just help me make this free throw so we can beat this other team, because I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see how trivial that makes God and the love of Jesus Christ sound when we put it in that type of perspective? God does not care. But that's the common understanding of this verse, is that just with enough faith, with enough belief, we can do anything. We can defeat any opponent because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're going to play the first place team. Got a tough game. It's okay. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Got that big job interview coming up? It's okay. Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You need more funds? You need more money? We can get that money. You know why? If you believe enough, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is that what that verse means? Is that what Paul was referring to when he wrote to the Philippians in the 4th chapter, verse 13, that we can be richer, bigger, faster, stronger, have more money, have a better life, drive a faster car, if we'll just believe in Jesus? Is that what Paul meant? Well, we're going to study about that tonight. In the lesson this morning, Paul mentioned something known as the prosperity doctrine. So I went and added a couple slides here. Closely tied to this viewpoint is something known as the prosperity doctrine. And what that doctrine basically says, and doing a little research, kind of came about after World War II. People were coming back, the baby boom, things were looking good, people were excited, happy, looking forward to stuff. And there became this age of what we kind of call the televangelist. And so they began kind of preaching this idea of the prosperity doctrine that says, listen, God wants us to have money. God doesn't want his people to be poor. And if you'll send in some money here to my address, I promise you good things are going to come your way. And that kind of came to the idea of what is known as a prosperity doctrine. God doesn't want his children to be poor or in want or have need. Pray for what you want, and God will make you rich. And just don't forget to send me a check at the end of every month. And people became famous with the prosperity doctrine. Lots of preachers. They say the first one was probably this guy named Oral Roberts and Benny Hinn. I remember Benny Hinn being on TV. Kenneth Copeland, Robert Tilton. And as you notice, a lot of these names, if you're familiar with them, most of them ended in some type of disgrace because they were stealing money from people. Tammy Faye and Richard Baker were also part of the prosperity doctrine movement. And some of the more common ones or the more recent ones, a guy named T.D. Jakes. And he's parlayed this into his entire TV show and new career. And probably the most famous of all is Joel Osteen. He's got a huge mega church outside of Houston. And Joel Osteen has really jumped on this. In 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter, verse 10, and Paul alluded to this morning, this is where some of this prosperity doctrine came from, was a book written about Jabez. It says, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. And there's an entire book, an entire philosophy has grown out of this verse right here called the Prayer of Jabez. There it is. See what I'm going to do? If you'll pray that God will enlarge your territory, that will bless you, give you money, make you rich. If you pray to God, God will provide for you. And there are so many people that have fallen victim to this idea of thinking of this prosperity doctrine. This is Joel Osteen. This is his commentary on Philippians 4 and 13. Most people tend to magnify their limitations. They focus on their shortcomings. But Scripture makes it plain. All things are possible to those who believe. That's right. It is possible to see your dreams fulfilled. It is possible to overcome that obstacle. It is possible to climb new heights. It is possible to embrace your destiny. You may not know how it will all take place. You may not have a plan, but all you need to know that if God said you can, you can. And just send me a check at the end of the month. And that's basically what Joel Osteen has done. And the fellow that a couple months ago demanded that his congregation buy him a new $2 million jet plane so he could go all over the country. I kind of like what Osteen says, to be honest. He's got a very positive outlook. And I agree with a lot of what he says. I think people do limit themselves. And I spend a lot of time as a teacher trying to convince kids that they can do these problems and they can do this work. And it is possible. You're not near as low as what you think. You can do it if you believe. But you know what? All things are possible to those who believe. Is that what Philippians 4 and 13 is teaching? Is it teaching us that all we have to do is believe and God will provide us with great blessings? That God will provide everything that we need and we're going to be rich and we're going to have nice cars and we're going to have a nice house and fancy clothes? Let me tell you, Joel Osteen, he ain't hurting for money. Joel Osteen's doing just fine. Is that what he means? Is that what the Apostle Paul meant when he penned these words? I still remember when Paul said it this morning, I was going to use this anyway. I don't know how long ago Paul Wilkerson gave this lesson about God being a celestial vending machine. And I remember that image. We pop our quarters in. Okay, God, here's what I need. Now we sit down and start writing. I need a new car. I need a bigger house. I need more money. I want to work less. And we just have this little list. And as if we expect God to sit here and fulfill every one of the things on our checklist. It doesn't work like that. We don't push a button. God is not our bellhop. God is not our butler. God is not the one who comes to our beckoning call to make sure that we have everything that we could possibly ever want or desire. The Bible does not promise us that Christians are going to be rich, that Christians are going to have an easy life. In fact, it's quite the opposite. He promises that as Christians, we're going to have a difficult life. We're going to have to be able to accept it. Does God want all of us to be rich and powerful? No. I don't believe so at all. Does God want us to be the best athletes on the field? No, I don't think God cares what our free throw percentage is. I don't think God cares about that at all. That's just not something that's important. We have to consider the context of the passage. Everything I've said so far, boy, it sounds good, doesn't it? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I don't want to downplay faith. I don't want to sound like I'm doing that at all. And I know Jesus talks to the apostles, if you only have faith as a little mustard seed, you can move mountains. I don't want to downplay faith. I don't want to make it sound like that's my intention here this afternoon. But I do want us to consider the context. That this Philippians 4 and 13 is not some magic talisman. It's not some lucky rabbit's foot that we need to keep in our pocket at all times that we know it's okay. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's not what it means. Consider the context. When you pull the verse out of context, it can be very, very dangerous. You have to consider the entire passage. Or you could make the Bible say pretty much whatever you want it to. If you're sleuth enough. If we look at the context of Philippians 4, it is quite apparent that Paul had a completely different idea in mind. So if you want to turn your Bible to Philippians, the 4th chapter. And I'll have the verses up here, but it might be, it's a little bit lengthy passage, but it may be easier to read in your Bible. So Philippians, the 4th chapter. I want you to think and try to answer these three questions as we go through this passage. Number one, where did Paul write Philippians from? Where did he write the passage, the book of Philippians from? Number two, who was Epaphroditus? Very important. And number three, how much money did congregations other than Philippi contribute financially to Paul? So we're going to read these, try to answer these three questions as we read through this passage. So we're going to start here in Philippians, the 4th chapter. We're going to begin in verse 11. He says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Where was Paul when he wrote this? It doesn't tell us in this passage, but you know where Paul was? In prison. Paul was in Roman prison. He was in chains. I read after one commentator, he seems to think that Paul had probably been in prison for 3 years when he wrote this. I don't know if that is exactly time-wise or not, but Paul had been in a Roman prison for some time. He's in prison writing to the Philippians. Who was Epaphroditus? Epaphroditus was a member of the church at Philippi, whom the church had sent to where Paul was being in prison to help minister to his needs. And so he brought things with him. He brought this, it says, an acceptable sacrifice. I don't know what all he took. I would assume he took food. I would assume he took clothing. I would assume he took books. I don't know what all he did. But Epaphroditus took him a care package from Philippi on behalf of the Philippian church to the Apostle Paul. What other congregations provided financial support? Paul says none. He says no other congregations. He said when he left Macedonia, the only one that helped him out was the church at Philippi. So what is this passage talking about? And if you notice right there in the middle of it, he says, listen, I know how to abound, and I know how to be abased. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What was the Apostle Paul talking about? Is he talking about his great achievements, that he can do anything through Christ who strengthens him? That he could stand up and overcome the Caesar in Rome? Is that what he was talking about? Was he saying that he could handle this prison life and he could bust out of this Roman prison if that's what he wanted to do because he could do all things through Christ who strengthens him? Was he saying that he could beat up the guard that was over the top of him there in Rome or wherever he may have been? Was he saying that he could physically attack him because he could do all things through Christ which strengthens him? No, not at all. Has nothing to do with the context of the passage. What was the context of the verse? It was financial support. It was money. Financial care sent from the Philippians to Paul. That's what the passage is about. It has nothing to do with physical strength. It has nothing to do with how fast or how high a fella can jump or run. It had nothing to do with that. It had to do with financial support that the Philippians gave the Apostle Paul. The underlying theme of the passage is not about achievement, but it's rather about contentment with what one has. And that's the secret to understanding. And Paul even says, I've learned in verse 11, he says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned. That Greek word apparently has kind of the connotation of figuring out a secret. In other words, Paul is saying, I figured out the secret to all this. You know, in my time here on earth, I figured out the secret. It's not about achievement. It's about contentment. It's about being content with what you have. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can be rich. You can be poor. You can be in jail. You can be free. You might be a landowner. You might be a slave. You might be smart. You might not be smart. He says, but it doesn't matter. Through all things, you can do whatever you want to. Through Christ, he strengthens you. It has nothing to do with achievement. It happens to do with contentment. No matter what is happening, whatever our situation, whatever bad things or good things are coming our way, we should be content. Because we've got God on our side. It doesn't mean that we're going to have the best job. It doesn't mean that if we pray hard enough, we're all going to be driving Mercedes-Benz. It doesn't mean that we're all going to have a huge old house. It doesn't mean that we're all going to be able to play basketball better than Steph Curry or be able to play football better than Tim Tebow. That's not what it means. It does not mean in the eyes of achievement, but rather contentment. Paul was thankful for what the Philippians had done, but his ministry was not dependent upon their contribution. That's the important thing. Paul was thankful for all that they had provided him for, but even if he didn't have that money, Paul was still going to preach. You know, I wonder if you could say that about Robert Tilton and Joel Osteen and T.D. Jakes. If you told Joel Osteen, listen, you got to give back every penny you have ever made off of preaching. and you're never going to be paid for preaching again. Will Joel Osteen continue to preach? I don't know. Kind of calls for an operation of his mind, as Judge Judy would say. I don't know what he would do. I have a pretty good idea, but I don't know what he would do. If you told somebody, listen, you're never going to receive another dime of support, and even say that to preachers today in our own brotherhood, you're never going to receive another dime of support. But they continue to preach. Basically, that's what Paul is saying. He's thankful, but he says, listen, I have learned how to be content when times are good and I have money from y'all, and I have learned how to be content when I didn't get money from anybody. And that's what he says in this next passage. He uses a couple of interesting words. He uses the words abased and abound. Abased means wanting. That means you're in poverty. You don't have much. Abound means things are coming in good. That means you're wealthy. Things are doing good. So Paul makes a statement, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. He says, there's been times where I haven't received any financial contributions, and I've had to make do on, you know, water and ramen noodles. He just had to make do on what he had. And he said, there's been other times that I have been abounded. I've had care packages. Epaphroditus has come, and he's brought things, and I'm appreciative of all that you've done and all that you've sent. He says, I have been abounded. But he goes on to say, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He says, I've lived both ends of the spectrum. And in all things, he makes the statement, I have learned to be content. That's what Paul is teaching. That we're going to be content whether things are good or whether things are bad. Whether we have money or we don't have money. Good things are coming our way, bad things are coming our way. He says, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be content because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, it's the strength of Christ that outdoes the money. It's not about the money. It's not about financial contributions. It's not about the support Paul was getting from different congregations. He could have gotten zero and he would have kept preaching because he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, that's not what they mean when they put that I black and they put Philippians 4 and 13. That's not what they mean. Those people who like to put the Philippians 4 and 13, and we even had a kid at Lakeview, good kid, he would wrap that on his shoe, Philippians 4 and 13. That's not what he meant. What he meant was, he believed in Christ, give me enough strength. I can do it. I can run through walls since I have so much faith and confidence in Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, that's not a bad attitude to have. But don't try to quote Philippians 4 and 13 as a verse to back it up. Well, that's not what Philippians 4 and 13 means. Philippians 4 and 13 is about contentment. The message of Philippians 4 and 13 is be content, no matter the situation. It is not a lesson about personal achievement, of what we can attain, what we can get, what we can grab, all that we can in this world. That's not what it's about. It's not about achievement. It's about contentment. I came across a blogger. I figured the Wilkersons would appreciate his name. I didn't figure I'd ever forget it. His name is Jonathan Merritt. So I think the Wilkersons can probably remember that name. He said, Paul is not encouraging Christians to go out and conquer the world. He is reminding them they can press on when the world conquers them. It's about being content with whatever comes our way. It's not about how much we can get and what we're able and capable of getting if we believe in Jesus. It's not the message of Philippians 4 and 13. This verse is not about being able to beat a good team in a football game, but rather about being able to remain content when our worldly resources are minimal. So I want you to think about the Apostle Paul sitting in a jail cell. Sometimes packages from Philippi came. Sometimes Epaphroditus was there. Sometimes not. And he would be forced to survive on whatever meager necessities that the people there at Rome would provide for him. Some bread and some water. I don't know if he got three squares, as they call it nowadays. I don't know what all he got. But he had to learn how to survive when there was basically nothing to keep him going. He says, I've been abased and I've been abounded. But in all things I've learned to be content. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So it kind of gives you a little bit different image than of what is happening. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I've been abounded, I've been abased. You know, there's good things that come from being rich. There's good things that come from being poor. When we start looking at poverty and wealth, though, I wrote down some thoughts here. Tell me what you think about this. I'm considering poverty or wealth. Based on kind of my own observations, it causes people great stress, and it often leads to sin. People do what they have to do to maintain their lifestyle. It leads to stealing, to lying, to cheating, sometimes to adultery, whatever it takes to stay in the game. Families are destroyed. People often turn away from God in pursuit of trying to find that next dollar. Many lose perspective of what is important and turn to other things to hide the pain. Maybe alcohol, maybe drugs, whatever it takes to quit worrying about money. And many are even led to take the greatest gift God has given us, and that's our very own life, when things get too tough to handle. The question is, am I talking about poverty? Or am I talking about wealth? And the answer is I'm talking about both. Because you've probably seen it on both ends, right? We've seen people that not having enough money causes great stress. Having too much money causes great stress. Not having enough money will cause people to steal, lie, cheat, whatever they can do just to survive to the next day. But when you get too much money, you'll lie, cheat, and steal to keep it. I don't know what's worse. Families are destroyed, and people turn away from God because they're just too busy trying to survive or because they're too busy living the life. Doesn't matter. Poverty or wealth is all the same. Many lose perspective of what's important. Many try to turn away to hide the pain. How many people in poverty do you know that have turned to alcohol, that have turned to drugs, that have turned to some mind-altering substance so they don't have to think about where they are? And then how many rich people do you know that sit around half the time just stoned out of their mind because they don't want to worry about all the money and financial issue? I don't think it makes any difference. How many poor people do you know? People in poverty that have finally said, I just can't do it. I can't make the payments. I can't keep up with the bills. I just can't do it. And they go out and kill themselves. I've known people like that. But then you turn around. How many people do you know that have everything that's rich? They couldn't possibly spend all the money they have. Stock market takes a dip. The next thing you know, they're jumping out of a window. It doesn't matter. It reminds me of an old song. Uptown, downtown, misery's all the same. You know, it just doesn't matter. Because I've been abound and I've been abased. And Paul says, it doesn't matter. You have to learn how to be content in whatever state you're in. Whether you're rich or poor, it's good life or bad life. Good stuff is happening, bad stuff is happening. You've got to learn to be content because what's important is God and the love of Jesus Christ. And he says, through anything, good or bad, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I don't think that's what Tim Tebow meant to say. I don't think that's what these guys meant to say when they hold up their signs, Philippians 4:13. I don't think that's what Steph Curry meant to say when he wrote it on his shoe. Maybe he did. I don't know. But I think they may have missed the point of it. So in conclusion, when Paul penned Philippians 4:13, he had financial support in mind. That was the context of his passage of how the Philippians had taken care of him. It was not about his own personal achievements and what he was going to be able to do and what great things he could accomplish because he believed in Christ. That is not the message. His message was not about achievement. His message was about contentment. Paul said when he had plenty, he was content. When he did not, he was content. He just didn't let it get to him. He didn't let it change his idea. Achievement versus contentment. Philippians 4:13 is about contentment, not achievement. And that's where a lot of today's athletes have, I think, gotten it mixed up. They're about achievement. What can I do? How much better can I be? That's not what Philippians 4:13 is about. And finally, be very careful of pulling a verse out of context. Because you can completely and totally change the meaning of what the inspired writers of God had in mind when those words were penned. And I believe that's kind of what's happened. As much as I like Tim Tebow, I believe he has had the help of movement here. He has helped this prosperity movement by taking a verse out of context. And because it sounds good, And because it looks good on a t-shirt, because it looks good on a coffee cup or on a ball cap, it sounds good, it looks good. That is not what the Apostle Paul was talking about at all. He was talking about being content in our financial state, not about whatever great personal achievement we could find. So the lesson is yours for this evening. Hope it's somewhat interesting. I thought it was a neat little study. Never like to close, though, without having a song of invitation. If it can help you in any way, we stand ready to assist you.